And welcome, folks. Going to talk some more today about revival. And, boy, getting ready for it. The messy. It's messy. It's when people begin turning back to God as believers who've slidden away, or those that don't know God come to Christ and things change. It's a battle with the devil who wants to hold souls and keep people in sin. And it's a battle in our culture as new lives come forth and begin to exhibit things that God wants them to be. Smack dab in the face of the way we are in our nation. It's cool. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to get into it here, folks, and yeah, praise God. It's just real neat. I am really encouraged by some news I just had from Charisma magazine and from newspaper, Washington Stand. Somebody linked to me. How in the United States, the leaders there in the new Congress, many of the leaders are seeking God in prayer and repentance. Now, this is significant. This is huge. It's a sign to me when you see people beginning to pray and repent of sin, particularly leaders of a nation, and repent for the sins they've committed, or their institution committed, or the government committed, or the nation commits, when that takes a hold instead of the arrogance and pride and demanding and tyranny of enforcing sin. When it reverses that way, we're on the verge of a revival, and that's good news. Oh, God, give us people like that in Canada. But here we go on Wednesday, and this would have been February 1st, I guess, in Washington, D.C., hundreds of people, hundreds of leaders from the Congress of the United States and others made their way over to the Museum of the Bible for a national gathering of prayer and repentance. There was about 60 speakers at this thing, and different organizations and political backgrounds and stuff, but a whole bunch of them from the government of the United States, from the new Congress that just formed this year after the election. Remember, Republicans got control. And what's amazing is the new Speaker of the House, McCarthy, was there and part of the prayer and repentance. Now, you might not understand this, but the last Congress, led by Nancy Pelosi and all the stuff they've been doing since 2020, they dedicated that Congress to the Hindu god Brahma in the prayers for the Congress. This is how perverted and far things have gone. When the government in the United States literally dedicated themselves to Brahma, to a idolatrous other god. Oh, Lord, that, you know, biblically speaking, the country is about to go off a cliff when that happens. And thank God there's a turn going on here right now. Oh, do we need leaders to come up? Well, I'd raise up leaders in Canada who will turn our nation back to God, who will openly come and pray and repent. I've been with some of our national leaders in certain prayer events, but not very often. But what happened is, like, here's Congresswoman Miller saying, "We've lost our way because we've rejected you as the Creator, Lord, and Savior. We're adrift and foolish, calling evil good and good evil. We most humbly ask you to intervene. Deliver us here in Congress and our country from going on our own way and thinking our own thoughts. Please, Heavenly Father, take the scales off our eyes. Help us to acknowledge we need you. Our need is to weep and mourn for our pride and immorality and child abuse and idolatry. Draw us back to your word." And that was the kind of praying that went on. And boy, lots of stuff. Many, many people there. This is amazing. To me, it's such a good sign. Now, why? Because one of the most famous revival scriptures for the course of a nation is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it happened when Solomon was dedicating the temple. He just built the temple, and he was praying to God that God would come and inhabit the temple. And he's praying that the Lord would hear prayers there. And the glory of the Lord appeared and came. But after he dedicated the temple, the fire of God came down. And that's, you know, that's the fire of God lights the fire on the altar to begin the sacrifice. It's holy fire. That's the way it was all the way through the Bible. That's the way it's got to be in the church. You can't have a fake fire. You got to have the holy fire. The Holy Spirit's fire lights. And so he actually had this in the night. The Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I've heard your prayers. I've chosen this temple as the place where I want you to sacrifice to me. Now listen to what he says. If I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, if I command the locusts to swarm on your crops, if I send a pandemic amongst you, do you hear that? Then if my people who are called by my name, that's us, that's the Israelites, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. They're not just praying. They're not just humbling themselves. They're repenting and turning around. He says, then I'll pay attention. I'll hear from heaven. When you do that, I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. And then here it is. I'll heal their land. You notice the conditions in there? To humble, we need God. We don't need this, that. We don't need more money. We don't need more this. We don't need more, you know, power. We need God. Humbling ourselves says we need God. Seeking his face means you take a time to do it. Prayer and repenting and turning from the evil ways means not only confessing sin and asking to forgive, but it's when you turn around. So that we'll mean to see what happens in Congress in the United States. Will this new Congress actually turn around and do things righteously? And from what I've seen already, they already are. And can they hold out? Because there's so many rhinos there in the Republican Party who just want to go left and do all this godless stuff. Then it says, then when they do that, when you humble yourself, and this can be us as personally, it can be us as a church. I've done this as a church. This can be us as a nation. And it's talking about nation, national here. When we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, repent and turn from our evil ways, then God says, I will hear from heaven. Then. There's a lot of prayers going on right now. God's not hearing for our country or maybe your personal situation because you haven't humbled yourself or the country. We haven't in our country humbled ourselves and prayed and seeked his face. And we need to pray and repent. Oh, God, we forgive us for our wickedness and sin in Canada. What wickedness? How about slaughtering the unborn? Start there. That means reason enough for God to destroy our nation right there. That's what he did to Israel. Because of that sin. And then you can just go on with the list. It's a litany. Oh, God, forgive our sin and be merciful. You laid it on Christ, oh, God. Bring a revival. Well, what happens when there's a revival? There's an awakening to sin. God pulls off the blinders. The Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they might not see the gospel, might not see what Christ's done. That gets pulled off. God says, I'll hear from heaven, forgive your sin, and heal your land. The next step is then God begins to heal the land. He brings in revival. Brings in revival. What's revival like? Well, man, people start coming to the Lord. I was looking at something in Charisma magazine written by J. Lee Grady here. He says, we're overdue for revival. But revival, when it comes, is very disruptive. It requires a lot of work. It's often chaotic. It will offend religious people. You really want God to move? Here it is. It's going to be offensive if you're religious. Like in Samaria in the book of Acts, demons started getting cast out because the Samaritans were into occult practices. It up over, you know, Simon the sorcerer was there, and it messed up him, and there's riots and stuff. Jesus movement, I've been talking about that. Man, all the hippies coming in, long hair, and the church couldn't stand it. The church couldn't stand the hippies getting saved. This church couldn't stand all their drums and beatniks and guitars and all this. I was part of that. I introduced playing guitar to church after church that I pastored to worship God. It was all piano and organ and stodgy. Anyway, and on you can go. It's two kingdoms clashing, he says. Well, this is J. Lee Grady. What does he say is going to happen when revival comes? When it starts to break out? When so many people get saved? And I've been there. I've pastored in revival. I've been preaching in revivals around the world. It's the same stuff. Number one, many demons will start coming out. You can see the demonic influence in this media right now. Twitter and TikTok and all the bizarre behavior and movies and TV shows. It's occult, man. There are so many demon-possessed people, they'll get saved and the devils will start coming out. And healing will take place. Broken families. Unprecedented levels of emotional pain and anxiety and confusion and sexual and gender dysphoria and on, addictions and all this stuff. God will start healing people like crazy. I've talked on the air here about physical healing and emotional healing. God's going to do it. Oh, man, God's going to do it. Creative miracles. Creative miracles will take place. And here's the thing, church. Now, I believe that the church of Christ is more like a gigantic network of Christians interacting together than it is an institution. But let me say this. When we have these meetings, there's going to be altars that are filled with people. I've seen it. I've been there. I've ministered at it. I've seen people coming up, bawling their eyes out, falling on the floor, shaking, thriving, repenting, healing, delivering, throwing up, you name it. God starts to move. The altars will be filled. They're going to get noisy. By altar, I mean people coming up to the front and finding prayer, coming to Christ, wailing and screaming. I've seen this is what happens. And, like happened in the first century, it might be riots too. In some of the churches there, when they started forming it decimated the business, the occult business in some of the cities in the book of Acts. And they rioted, the businessmen rioted to get rid of them. And then much of the mainstream church, much of the existing ordinary church, even evangelical, Pentecostal, charismatic type churches might go, we don't want this. And listen, this is revival. It's a clash. Two kingdoms warring. The one kingdom, the darkness settles in on things, and that's why it's at a low ebb. The other kingdom breaks through, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. Jesus as Lord starts to break in and break through and bust down the walls, and people get saved. You really want revival? It's going to happen. It's going to cost. And, you know, if revival starts ongoing at your particular church or a particular meeting or a place or whatever else, then you have to invest the time in it and keep, you know, being there and helping people. There's going to have to be time and places and money put into discipling these new believers who don't know anything about Christ or anything about God. Now they become Christians. How do I live? Oh, man, I remember doing that in the 90s. We had people coming in. They didn't even know how to handle money and buy and sell things. It was ridiculous. And who knows? What would happen if all our street people started getting saved? If we had hundreds of them getting saved right now? I pray it does. Oh, God, save our street people here. The addicts. Bring them into church. Father, let them flood the place. Let them flood the altars. Let the devils come out. Let the healings go and get them off the drugs and the physical healings, Lord. And let us have places where we can disciple them. They can live safely and they train up and become citizens for you, citizens of the kingdom of God and model citizens in our city and our country. Oh, Father, some such were we before we were saved. And so come and do it, Lord. Is there a church in Campbell River you're ready to receive them? Will you receive those filthy, dirty, wrecked people from the street here in Campbell River? Will you say yes to them coming in your doors and sitting in your pews and sitting next to you at church and weeping their eyes open, bawling themselves out, dirty, smelly? coming up the altar, falling on their face, wanting prayer, wanting to receive Jesus. Vomiting, retching as the demons come out, as they get delivered from their drug addiction, as healings take place. And then they need a home, they need a place, they need a people who are faithful to say, yes, we'll help you, yes, we'll teach you about Jesus, we'll gather with you, we'll find a place, we'll make this work. We'll make this work because God's doing it. We'll make it work. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, give us the way. I'm telling you, this is what God wants to do in revival. Are you ready for it? I say, yes, Lord, bring it on. Oh, God, I love nothing more than to see the power of God hit a wretched soul and see them breaking down and weeping and repenting of their sins and turning around and their life is brand new and they don't go back anymore. And you've got to give them a place to go so they don't go back anymore. And their old mates and their old drug dealers and their old stuff don't come after and get them. We've done that. Had some live in our home. Are you ready for it? Will you say, yes, Lord, lead me, show me the way? Will you give your church to it? I thank God. Pastor Barry Cardall at the Vineyard Church on Sunday, after I'd preached about revival and Jesus people, he prayed, yes, Lord, we say yes to you for all this. He understands what it's about. He's seen it. Yes, Lord, we say yes to you. Jesus, come and do it. Here, and Lord, we acknowledge it's not our ability. We can't. We say we'll do it, but we don't have it. It has to be grace. It all has to be grace, Lord. Jesus in front and center. Jesus the focal point. Jesus the Lord. Jesus the healer, the deliverer, the savior, the provider, the one who has wisdom for us. Jesus Christ is all in all. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Bring it about. Bring it about. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now let me pray for you. If you've been stirred by this message, you're saying yes to Jesus. Say, Lord, okay, here I am, God. I'm yielding myself to you. I want to be in the number. I want to be in this last outpouring, in this last revival. I can see it coming. The signs are there everywhere. There's an awakening in the land. We can smell the fragrance from God's kitchen. The cook is about to serve the banquet. We can see the flowers poking up. We can tell. It's just on the verge right now. God is about to move powerfully in our land. And you say, yes, God. Say, pray. I pray, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the yeses in my audience right now would be sealed with your spirit. The anointing of the Holy Ghost come on everyone who says yes, to enable, to supply, and to give gifts that make it possible, Father. Lord, we need your deliverance. We repent for the state of our nation, the state of our country, the state of our own homes even. Father, in our state of our lives, come with your life and bring your life into ours. Amen.